I give you our first speaker, Ms. Cheryl G. from Virginia.
And for those of you that didn't hear the last piece, it's Cheryl G. from Frederick. And one more time, I say that I am extremely nervous. But I need to give all thanks to the God of my understanding for allowing me at the last minute to understand my preference and my purpose for today. And it just said in the reading, and that is to share a clear message of recovery. And since this topic is so where I'm at and so approachable, I think that it'll, allow my message to be just what it is, a message to those that are still sick and suffering. I was taught early on in recovery to talk about myself. And thus far, I've been doing that. You know, one more time, I give thanks to the God of my understanding for allowing me to feel that it's okay to talk about someone else when they're in my recovery space. I guess, you know, I had to be taught what it's like in NA to be in a program. And the God of my understanding put people in my lives to do just that, teach me. And I can start first by mentioning my kids, my young adult teenagers. I have three daughters who definitely need a program. However, being a prime example of what this program can do is how they choose and how they verbally say to me that by watching me, they can understand what it's like to have a program. So, I have trust and faith in the God of my understanding that he's doing just that for my girls. I have been living with someone without a program, or someone that just won't allow the program to do for them what it has done for me. I'm a very teary, feeling, emotional person. But I'm real joyful to experience these feelings that allow me to get tearful without medicating them. And since I'm limited to time, I'll get right to this very shaky ride that took place somewhat months ago, that the God of my understanding, I realized just today, was providing the strength and the courage for me to hold on to get to this day. It started when I started noticing that this person wasn't the person I met 2.5 years ago. And I started noticing things, situations that can take me outside of myself, that I personally feel that God allowed me to feel that I was doing some work on. And I remember 2 weeks before Christmas, and this change started taking place within this person, and my instincts and the work that I've done on myself thus far, that this program and predecessors has shown me that something wasn't right. The slur in this person's voice, the behaviors that this person displayed, the instincts that God immediately put into my life and my thoughts was that this person was using. But because I got in the way early on in recovery and thought it was okay for me to create my own program that I could fix him, so even though the evidence was right before me, one more time, I had to tell myself, you can do this. Not to mention the many gifts that I bought for Christmas for him, that I wanted him to receive. Maybe the gifts to keep him around a little longer. So I allowed this person to talk me out of thinking what I was feeling. And it went on. And I remember the second time I started feeling this way. I came home from work one day. And this person was preparing itself to take a shower. And I started seeing those same behaviors, but they were new. So one more time, I set my instincts aside. I set my program aside. One more time, I said to myself, you can do this, Cheryl. So I left out the bathroom to give this person time to change, because you need to recognize that I'm in your presence right now. But when I came back into the bathroom, this person was in the shower, and he was afraid to turn around, and he was shaking, and he was telling me that it was something in the corner of the shower that wasn't allowing him to turn around. And so I laughed, because I thought he was joking. But when that behavior went on, I got really nervous. And he wanted me to come closer, because he had something that he wanted to give up. And he passed me a glass stem. And I sat on the toilet with that stem in my hand. I looked. I wrapped it in toilet paper. And I threw it in the trash. But because I came from the same place this person came from, I knew that dope wasn't far behind. And so I reached into his pockets. And there it was, that familiar lottery ticket. I emptied the contents into the toilet, and we all know what it was. And I went and I sat on my bed, and I asked God why. We cried, we hugged, and we made a promise that I wouldn't tell nobody. But because I didn't tell nobody, and he wasn't able to tell nobody, it came another time. And I was at work. I work overnight. One more time, my instincts kicking in. Behaviors, new behaviors. I started calling this person's cell phone. And it was turned off because it went directly to the voicemail. And I kept calling and I kept calling. Then one time, in between the time of him clicking it on and off, I got a ring. And then it went off again. And I told myself one more time, you can do this, Cheryl. I work alone overnight at a place that has to have somebody there at all times. But because one more time came around for me to help this person, I thought it was okay to lock the place down. But I couldn't find the key. So maybe the place unattended would be all right. And I wanted to leave, but I couldn't. I was taught to do the next right thing. And so I called a co-worker and I asked her if she can come in. Because I had an emergency at home. And I left my work. And I went home. And one more time, there he was in deep mode. And I couldn't understand why. I told y'all I have 3 kids. So I had to lock them out like I always did in active addiction so they wouldn't find out the truth. Because I was given more time to help this person, so I thought. But because I didn't have the strength that was needed to hand this person over to a power greater than myself, the ultimate time came where God did for me what I wasn't able to do for myself. And it didn't come the way I expected it to come. Because I thought that the God of my understanding would just remove him immediately. But my last drive on this shaky ride, I drove this person to another city. And the whole way down, before I left from Frederick, I said, you know, I can't take this drive because I'm in distress right now. And I need to go to a meeting. And this person said to me, I need to get to Baltimore. And so I took him. I pulled to the side of the road 3 different times. Because I couldn't eliminate myself from participating in an argument that was getting so heated. It took me to a level of thinking that one more time I was ready to die. And I asked him, if you don't shut up, I'm going to run this car into something. But the God of my understanding was there the whole time. I regrouped and I kept on riding. But then the drive got too long because I was now in the city where I needed to take him. But I just wasn't close enough to his destination. And I still hadn't found the strength to just shut up. And I kept on. And I kept on. And he took me back to where I came from. And the next thing I know, this person busts me in my eye. Bust me in my lip and tried to take me out my vehicle to allow himself to drive my car. but I put up a fight. And we all know what the end results was, because I made a promise. I can't beat every man that God put in my life, but I will send you to jail. I will. And that's what I did. But I understand today how living without a program teaches me the importance of having one. Because I don't understand everything that comes before me. But I do believe that there's a God that's working in my life, and anything, good, bad, or indifferent, if it's coming from God, it's got to be a blessing. God put people in my life for each lesson that is to be taught to me. I'm real grateful that he put this person in my life in spite of. Because y'all told me one addict helping another is without parallel. And I don't stand here to assassinate this person's character. I don't stand here for self-pity because I'm a survivor. I don't stand here to blame anything on anyone, because I understand today that that was part of my process. And that was one of my lessons to be taught. That each and every time I get in the way of the God of my understanding, he's going to give me something unexpectedly to bring me back to the reality that I'm not running nothing. And if I can't take care of my own life because I can't, I need the God of my understanding to guide me in this new way of living. How can I take care of somebody else's? Get a program. Get in tune with Narcotics Anonymous. Ask for some help. There's others just like us. If you in here and you think that you are in this alone, you are wrong. I wasn't the chosen one to give this message to this person, but I'm sure he got a lesson out of it too. Coming around, I used to share and talk a lot about, you know, unnecessary things that in my program I was going to, under any circumstances, achieve. Outside stuff that can fix the outside of me. Stuff like bigger lips, bigger breasts. I got that big lip and I wasn't satisfied with it. I wasn't satisfied because it didn't come the way I strived to achieve it. Yeah. I've learned, y'all, to be grateful, to accept what I think is a bad thing for me as a blessing. I had to learn that. Because it's not going to stop there. I understand today that as long as I get in the God of my understanding way, he's going to do what's necessary to move me and let him take charge. Because I pray on a daily basis and I ask for your guidance, for you to show me your will. Ask, you shall receive, is what the God of my understanding shows me in my daily life. I used to think that the way God is using me is unacceptable for my program sometimes. I better change that. Because I asked him a long time ago, God, use me as you must, just don't let me use myself. When this person heard of this topic, because he asked me, well, what is the topic? And he asked me like he already knew. And when I told him the topic, he gave me permission. And he said, you know, you gotta talk about me. And even if it was hard for him to accept and hear the truth, that's okay. Because God removed him and allowed him to do what I needed to do for me. Because I no longer wanted to hold on to them secrets that I made a vow to keep. And because he wasn't having and using a program to free himself, I had to wait. And I had to hold on. But I understand why. Narcotics Anonymous has done so much. So much for me. I wouldn't give it up for the world. I am so grateful. I am so thankful that the God of my understanding did not allow me to be okay with that last thought and act of addiction, which was, I'll be okay dying, getting hot. I am so grateful for each and every situation that took place in my life, because it brought me to where I am today. I have a level of acceptance that's not always up to par with me. But I have accepted that as long as I hold on and continue to pray and allow a power greater than myself to run my life, I'll be okay. I've never felt so free in my life. And I'm going to share this and I'm going to be quiet. I still love that individual. But I love him enough to let him go. I love me enough to get out the way. I love that thing called us enough to let somebody, some other power greater than Cheryl, restore us back to sanity. Because if it's going to be a us, it'll come in time. Just not right now. I am so grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share.
Speechless. For our next speaker, I give you Alfonso W. from Maryland.
Hi, family. My name is Alfonso, and I'm an addict. And it was real good to hear Cheryl share her experience, Strips and Hope. Right? But while sitting there listening to her, right, what I realized is that having someone or being involved with someone that's not in recovery, right, or don't have a recovery program can work different, too. Because from my spectrum, right, my whole time being in Narcotics Anonymous, right, I've been with someone that's not in recovery, and that's my wife. And every day I thank God, you know, for her, you know. I remember early on coming to the program in Narcotics Anonymous, right, and Of course, she didn't have no program. So I kind of like got things mixed up when I first got here, right? I thought that this thing called Narcotics Anonymous was for me personally. I didn't hear the part about I had to practice these principles in all my affairs, right? So when I came to the rooms and what I heard in the rooms, right, I didn't at first take it home, right? Because I remember, you know, very vividly, my wife was the one that took me to my first meeting out of treatment. And with almost 19 years clean now, she's still taking me to meetings. And I was just thinking, a few weeks ago I was in an accident, a car accident, and it messed my car up and I hurt my back, and that's why I'm using this cane, right? And my pride got in the way because I really didn't want her taking me to meetings, right? I don't want to use this cane that they told me I need to use, right? And so, you know, it's part of like being still self-sufficient, right? You know, being so self-sufficient and let my ego get in the way until I don't want to let you all see me, you know, needing help, you know. But I thank God for my wife, right? I thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. I thank God for the people that was here before me, right? Because, you know, I had gone through this program early on thinking that I wasn't learning anything, right? But I'm here to say that with almost 19 years, you don't stay clean that long and don't learn nothing being in these rooms, right? And I'm so grateful after hearing this sister share her experience, Drifts in Hope. I am so grateful that I was coming from the other side of the spectrum, right? Because, see, in my household, right, I was the one with the problem. And she reminded me so much of that guy that she was talking about because I was that guy. I was that guy, right? And I came around here, man, and I listened, man, and I came a few times. I went in treatment a few times, I think four to be exact, right? And I didn't really think that this program could work for a guy like me, right? You know, but my wife, right? And I have to keep saying my wife, right, because she's a very intricate part of my recovery process, right? She never gave up on me. You know what I'm saying? I knew then, or I know now, that God knew what I needed in my life way before I did, right? See, he knew that I would, even though I came to the rooms and I didn't believe too much of what you guys were saying, right? He knew that I needed somebody closer to me, you know, to kind of like get the message. And she was right there. She was right there the whole time, man. And she was telling me earlier, right, that she wasn't going to come up here and sit in this meeting and have me talk about her, right? But the way it was for me in my process, I have to talk about her and God in the same breath, right? Because I truly know that my wife was God sent. And I'm so grateful that it didn't take me but so long, right, to find out that he had something better in store for me, right, for a guy like me, man. I tried so hard not to get this program, right? I came in and out of these rooms. I went in and out of the various treatment facilities in Washington, D.C. Well, I ain't going to say the various ones because I was so smart, right? I went into the same treatment program each time. And it wasn't because I had insurance and all that kind of stuff. Y'all know how we do, right? It was because she saw fit to keep insurance on a guy like me. Because she knew that I was steadily trying to kill myself day by day, right? And with almost 19 years later, right, I'm so grateful. You know, I have nothing but gratitude for this program, man, and the predecessors, right? And for me, man, I heard the sister talk about her kids, right? Well, I have six. And my kids, to my knowledge, right, they never, if they thought anything different about me, they never told me. And I guess that was because I was never around. You know what I'm saying? But once I kind of like got embedded in this program, right, and start realizing that this was the only thing for a guy like me, man, I'm here to say today that I got my kids back in my life, all of them, even those that I wasn't sure that they were mine. And one thing again about my wife, even those that I had before we were together, right, she still accept them wholeheartedly, man. You know, she's been a much bigger person than me, you know what I'm saying, because had the shoes been on the other foot, I don't think I could have done that, you know what I'm saying. So I'm really appreciative to my wife, to God, to the people in Narcotics Anonymous and to this program in general, man, because I can't stand up here and say anything bad about the person that I've been associating with all this time that don't have a program. Because if you had known her, you would have thought that she had a program. Because she used to read all the literature that I used to bring home, and I should just throw it to the side, right? And then once I get to cutting up, she started quoting the literature to me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know? And she would quote the literature to me. She would make sure that I had a sponsor that had a working knowledge of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. You know what I'm saying? I have sponsees. I have sponsees right today. When they call my house and I answer the phone, they say, we want to speak to our other sponsor. You know what I'm saying? And that's all the praise be to God, man. And that's in reference to God putting somebody in my life, right, that he felt that I would more or less listen to before I listened to him. Because early on, I really had a problem with God, right, because I really couldn't see anything good that God had done for a guy like me. And it was because I lived such a life, right, until I was constantly trying to destroy myself and everything that was good in my life, until I just didn't see any way that God could forgive a guy like me. I came to Narcotics Anonymous, man. I had to ask her about this, right? I said, when did I first try to get clean? And she said, well, the first time was in 1983, right? And but I didn't get clean to stay clean until 1987. And it all because I had come around the rooms long enough until it got to a point where you all talk about that this program will work in your life long before you understand it, right? And that's what started happening for me. The program was working in my life, and I didn't even understand it. And it was working through my wife, because she was always there for me, man. You know, I can't stand here today and say that I've been the best husband, right? But I thank God, right, for putting a wife that I have in my life, right? You know, this program has been fantastic, man. I have no complaints when it comes to Narcotics Anonymous, right? And also, as a result of having someone in my life that I have, right, I'm impelled to work the program in Narcotics Anonymous, right? Because I remember early on, like, helping her move, right? And I was staying in our condo that we had over in Southeast Washington, D.C., and I helped her move, right? And she got a big yellow truck, and we loaded the truck up, and we put the stuff in storage. She went to her mother's house, right? And she told me, she said, you got 30 days, right? But in spite of what she told me, right, even though she left me with the little black and white TV with the coat hang on top and left me with what they call a pallet. It wasn't a sleeping bag then. It was a pallet, you know what I'm saying? And I had this car. It was a Volvo, right? And she told me that you don't have long to drive it, because when I first got it, I thought that the only thing I was supposed to pay was the down payment. No car notes, right? And so then she let me know that they were looking for it. So I used to park it on the other side of Pennsylvania Avenue, and I used to walk home. And so the neighbors wouldn't know that she had moved, even though that big yellow truck was out there that day. I used to climb on top of the air-conditioned vent that was behind the apartment, right, or the condo, and I used to climb through the window. And I stand here, and I can tell you all in all sincerity, right, that I used to look out the window sometime, right, when I used to be in there at nights by myself, because I knew she was coming back. And one night I happened to be in there, and I was getting high, and it finally dawned on me that she wasn't coming back, man. And I think that my wife got to that point where we kind of like get to in Narcotics Anonymous when we get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So then I kind of like knew that it was time for me to do something, man. I had once again left this program, right? And I think I called her and I told her that I was ready again. And she told me, well, if you're ready again, you have to go by yourself. And I think I went by myself, right? I know I left the car someplace, right? And I went to treatment. I had messed up some people's money. Matter of fact, my cousin and them, and I have a stab wound right here in my stomach to show for it. You know how we do relatives, right? I ain't got to pay you nothing because you family. And I went to treatment, and I had been told several times to go to what they call Oxford Houses, right? But I just knew that the kind of person that I was, right, that she would take me back once again, right? Well, this last time in 1987, she didn't take me back. She was living at her mother's house. I had to go interview for an Oxford house, and I kind of like adopted this program in Narcotics Anonymous. Well, I didn't really adopt it. I had no place else to go, you know, and so I kind of like, I really had no place else to go, you know. And I used to think that a guy like me, you know, so I thought, had no place else to go, right, you know. And I can reflect back and remember that all the things that people like you all told me in the very beginning, right, happened to a guy like me, you know, all the not yets and all that kind of stuff. I know that it's not really appropriate to share, you know, your war story, right, but I had one, man, you know, and I really thought that I was invincible, right. But drugs did for me what nobody in this world could have done to me, man. You know what I'm saying? It beat me down until I got to a point where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, man. I finally came back into the rooms in 1987. And in D.C. we have a place called Trust Clinic, right? And they've moved several times. But I've been fortunate enough to be at every location that that place was located. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just blessed, man, you know. I think now today, when I see new people coming to the rooms, right, and I often say, I don't know whether it's right or wrong, right, but just how I feel, right, that I'm so glad that I came around when I did. Because had I come around like now, right, I don't think I would be here, you know, at least not here in Ocean City, you know what I'm saying. But I thank God so much, man, every day for people like the Earl W's, right, for the Mooses, right, and for all the people, the common leaders, right, and the Mark L's and all those people, right. And see, a guy like me that never thought that this program was appropriate for him, right, had the privilege, right, I'll say. God gave me a privilege, right, to be around where all these people were. And I used to hear these people share in meetings, right, and I used to be like, shit, if I was that old, I'd be finished too. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm here to tell you now that I'm that old, you know. Don't let the smooth look fool you, you know what I'm saying? I am really that old, man, and I am so blessed, right, to have you people in my life, man. I think my wife thought that today I would stand up here, right, and kind of like roast her, you know what I'm saying? But it really ain't about her, you know what I'm saying? It's about me, and it's about the program of Narcotics Anonymous, but I know without a shadow of a doubt that if it had not been for her, you know, doing what God had intended for her to do in her life, right, that I wouldn't be here. I am so grateful, man. I'm just, man, I get so filled up so sometime, right, in talking about this program and then talking about what God has done, man, for me, right? I remember being very young and thinking that there wasn't no God, right, because he took my grandmother from me in 1968. And I remember sitting on her porch, and I remember saying that I was going to spend the rest of my life showing God that I didn't need his help. It took me coming to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, right, and for you people to tell me that even though I made that promise or whatever, right, that he was just carrying me. You know, so I think about the footprints in the sand, and I think about all the people that he's placed in my life, right, to help me on this journey, man. You know, I was sitting here, I was listening to this sister, man, I was like, God damn, I hope I wasn't that bad, right? But I think I was that bad. You know, I think I was that bad, but I thank God for people, man, that without a program, that don't have a program, right? Because everybody that you encounter in your life ain't going to have a program, you know what I'm saying? But I thank God for the program for allowing me the opportunity or the ability, right, to just live with people or work with people or to deal with people that don't have a program. Because the people that I work with, they don't have no program. You know what I'm saying? But they're in the same field of helping and still suffering, right? But they don't have no program, man. But I'm just overwhelmed, man, to be a part of this convention, man. And then before I get too far off, I'd like to thank the people that thought enough of me to ask me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope with you all here in this convention, man. Because I've always wanted to do something like this, right? But I never wanted to put in the kind of time to do anything like this, right? You know, I remember being at a convention one year in Atlanta, in Atlanta, and I think the theme was about the predecessors, right? And I know I think I must have had maybe about 2 or 3 years, and I knew that the one thing that I heard out of the convention was about predecessors, and I was like, damn, I want to be a predecessor. You know what I'm saying? And I thank God for the people that were here before me to instill in me what I needed, right, to become a predecessor, right? You know what I'm saying? In our hometown, there are some people believe that the old-timers, or as they say, don't have anything to offer or have to say to them, right? You know what I'm saying? But I feel that I'm very grateful, man, to be what they call a predecessor or old-timer or whatever, right? But I'm here to say that I still have to do what I did early on to stay here today. You know, like the job, the things don't change, right? I still do everything that I did when I first got here after I decided that I wanted to be here. I still go to meetings. I try to help somebody with no strings attached. I try to share my experience, strengths, and hope, man. And my mouth is getting so dry up here. But back to the, or not getting off of the topic, right, living with someone in recovery. I have a 26-year-old son. His birthday was April the 4th, right? And I have you people to thank for him. This guy is no problem at all, man. You know, he's not that any of my kids any problems, right? But this guy is real special, man. He's 26 years old. He's about 6'4". And I think he weighed about 240 or whatever, right? And I know he can take me if he tried, right? You know what I'm saying? And we can't get rid of this guy. We can't get rid of him, man. We can't get rid of him because I think he kind of like likes what he see, you know, in his mother and in me, right? And he knows that what I got from the program of Narcotics Anonymous, right? I love it when he goes places and he say, Dad, I seen so-and-so, you know, that person that's in the program, you know. It just does me a world of good, man, you know, because my son, man, I finally got to a point where I can kind of like be a role model for somebody, right? You know what I'm saying? See, like all young people, right, that don't have programs are not bad kids. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I'm privileged to have a son that's really a gentleman. You know what I'm saying? He respects us, man. Like me, we fear her, you know, but it's all good. You know what I'm saying? It's all good, man. I don't know really what else to say, man, because I really don't like to talk a whole lot, you know, but I ain't going to lie. I know I can, you know, but it's just a pleasure to be here, man. I said that I was going to do something when I got to this convention, and I hope nobody minds, right, but I just kind of like wanted to give a shout-out to a brother, and his name is Dewey, right, and he's in the hospital back in Washington, D.C., or in Maryland, right, and I went to see him the other day, and he told me, he said, Fonzo, man, he said, thank God for you, you know, and I said, nah, thank God for you. And he told me, he said, well, I won't be able to make Ocean City this year, right? He said, but you go, man, you know. And I remember when, you know, by him telling me that, I remember one year I had a heart attack, right? I think I had several. And I couldn't make this convention, right? And I felt so bad, you know what I'm saying? I felt so bad that I couldn't be here, right? And I just told him the other day that I would definitely come here, right? And I would let you all know how he's doing, right? So he told me, you know, that he's going to be all right, you know. And I pray and I hope to God that he will be all right, because in our area we've lost so many people, right? We lose people every day. And I'm sure it's not only in our area, right, but there's just so many people dying, man, that's in this program, right, until sometime, man, it really, really makes my heart hurt. You know, it makes my heart hurt, right, because I've gotten so much from the people in Narcotics Anonymous, man. This program is the best thing that's ever happened to a guy like me. And I definitely feel strong about carrying the message of recovery, and I'm also for a clear message of recovery, and that's why I keep it real simple, man. All I do, I go to meetings, I try to help somebody with no strings attached, man, but I make sure that I try to help me first, right? I don't see any sense of me going to meetings and listening to all you all share your experiences and hope, or me sharing mine with somebody that's new and then going home and doing something totally different, right? But I can attest to the fact that at times I do. You know, I'll go home and she'll tell me, "You ain't learned shit at the meeting," you know, but I thank God for her, right? And being honest enough with me, right? You know, because she lets me know that there's always work to be done. There's always work to be done, you know. And the one thing that I can say to Sister Cheryl, right, is that I spoke earlier about my wife when she moved and we separated, right? And I had a sponsor by the name of Earl W., right? And he was my sponsor at the time when my wife moved with her mother. And I used to go crying to him, right? After I used to go tree boxing, right? And, but I'm sure some people know what that means, right? And he used to say, "Man, stop crying and just do what you have to do for you." And the one thing that Earl W. told me, right? He told me that if it's meant to be, it's going to be. And after I spent 2 years in the Oxford House, I went to her crying, I guess, and she told me that we can try it again. And we've been together ever since, right? You know, so I thank God for you, Carl. You know, I really do. And I don't know how much time I have left, but she said I was good. So the one thing about having people in your life, right, because at one time I thought that everybody that had to be in my life had to be in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, right? But I found out different, you know. I have some genuinely good people in my life, right? But for the most part, right, people that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, they're in Narcotics Anonymous, right? I have friends in Narcotics Anonymous, man, in all parts of the country, right? I'll never forget being new and going to a convention in Atlanta, like I said. And I remember I was wearing this bandana on my head, right? And it had Narcotics Anonymous on it, right? And these guys asked me, "Where did I get it?" And I told them I got it from Chicago, from a world convention. And I had heard something in the rooms, right? And so I just took a chance and tried it. So I took the bandana off my head and I gave it to the guy. And he had this medallion around his neck, a nice one, right? And so I said, that's real pretty, right? He said, "Yeah, this is my Urias medallion." And he told me, he said, "Why, you like it?" And I said, "Yes, I do," right? So I thought he was going to give it to me, but he didn't, right? You know. But the one thing he did, right, he told me, he said, "Give me your name and your address," right? And he said, "And I'll send you one." And I was like, "Yeah, okay, right," you know. And my wife can attest to the fact that guy sent it to me. Yeah, he was from Miami, right? And he sent it to me, right? And the same thing happened when I was in San Diego, California. A brother had left our area and moved to Dallas, Texas, right? And I saw these guys in line going into merchandising. And we were just talking, you know, just fellowshipping. And they asked me, "Where was I from?" And I told them, "From the D.C. area." And they told me that that they knew a guy that came from D.C. that was down in their area that started a men's rap, you know. And I said, "Men's rap?" And they said, "Yeah." Say, "We didn't have one in Texas before this guy came." And so I told him, I said, "Well, you tell him Alfonso said hello," right? And I think that Christmas, right, this guy came back to D.C., right? His name is Keith, right? And he told me that those guys in Dallas told him that they met me in San Diego. And what I'm alluding to is the fact that I think it was read that wherever we go, we have to practice Narcotics Anonymous in our lives, right? And so that particular day when I talked to those guys, it was about Narcotics Anonymous, right? And so what they did, they told him, right, that they had met a brother from D.C. and that he was down there carrying the message, right, even in San Diego, California, right? So I'm blessed, right, truly blessed, right, to have the wife that I have, to have the people in my life that I have, right? And I've been blessed to be able to go all over the world, man, or the United States anyway, to Narcotics Anonymous conventions, man. I'm forever grateful to this program, man. And I really don't have too much more to say before I start lying, you know. But I'm thankful. I'm really thankful to all of you for being here, and I'd like to thank the people that came to support me, man. Thank you very much.